Our reading this morning is from the book of Luke. Listen to what the Spirit is saying.
The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end."
Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God."
Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
Hear what the Spirit is saying.
I am very grateful for the ministry of music of our choir and our woodwind and string orchestra. And I'm especially grateful for this harpsichord. This is the Foundry harpsichord. And we get it out about once a year, and I love to listen to it. So I know that you don't get to hear it often, and I'd like to ask Paul if he'd just play a verse of something on the harpsichord so that we can all hear our harpsichord by itself. Very beautiful. Go ahead. It's a very fine instrument, but part of the reason we don't hear it more is because every time we get it out, Stanley has to arrange to have it tuned just before the 9:30 service, and then we hope that it makes it till noon. Sounds like it's doing well today. I want to say a particular word of welcome to one of our guests. We're really his church in Washington, D.C., and that's Reverend James Parkhurst. He's one of the best uncles in the world, and sometimes I don't think we appreciate when we're raising kids how important aunts and uncles and extended families can be. He is one of the best uncles in the world. James, would you stand up? Welcome back to Foundry. It's good to have you here. He directs camps and conferences for the Michigan Conference of the United Methodist Church. I want to mention two very important Sundays in January. And feel free to get out your phones if you have your calendars on them and mark these dates. I want to give you enough advance warning so that you can take care of your schedule. One is MLK Sunday, January 19th, when our special preacher will be Cheryl Anderson. Dr. Anderson teaches Old Testament at Garrett Seminary in Evanston, Illinois. She has written a very, very important book about biblical interpretation and the movement for full inclusion within the church. Her book is entitled Ancient Laws and Contemporary Controversies, and we're getting copies in the church office and hope they'll be here soon, or you can download it electronically or buy copies through Amazon. Cheryl was a lawyer who worked for the federal government here in Washington, D.C., and she started attending Foundry in the 1980s. In the late 80s, she was moved to begin attending seminary and attended Wesley Seminary. She was ordained a United Methodist pastor, and then she continued her education in biblical studies and now teaches at Garrett with a special emphasis on how good, responsible, biblical scholarship can help the church in its ministry to people living with HIV and AIDS, and she does much work in Africa, especially Southern Africa. The Bible is so often used to exclude people, and so her arguments and teaching have to do with how we understand the Bible as a book that teaches and promotes inclusion within the church. And I really look forward to you meeting Cheryl. She is a daughter of Foundry Church, and she's the first speaker in a almost monthly series we'll be doing throughout January through June on daughters and sons of Foundry. We'll be bringing back to Foundry people who grew up here and people who went into ministry from here. And she begins that series, and so put it on your calendar, January 19th. And then I want to announce also this morning for the first time that the following Sunday, on Sunday, January 26th, last Sunday of January, our preacher for that morning will be Reverend Pastor Frank Schaefer, whose trial was held last month in Pennsylvania. I'm sure many of you read about it in the newspapers. Frank was found guilty of conducting his son Tim's same-sex wedding. And so we've invited Frank to spend a morning with us so that you can get to meet him. You can hear his story, and he can be an inspiration to us in the ongoing work for a fully inclusive United Methodist Church and Christian Church. He'll be here at 9:30 and 11, the last Sunday of January. And he will also be available to answer questions and have discussion after the 11 o'clock service. So please save those two very special dates. Please be aware of the person on your left and the person on your right, and bow your heads for a moment of us praying for one another. You may know the person sitting next to you or not, but lift up in prayer the person sitting to your left, that in worship and in our life as a congregation together, God might minister to them at their point of need and possibility. And pray for the person on your right, that wherever they are in their life journey, they may find encouragement and hope in their life of faith. And if you prayed for someone that you don't know well this morning, please be sure to greet them with a handshake and a word of encouragement following worship. Amen. For the next 6 months, we are focusing on the church-wide theme of strengthening our core. In the world of health and exercise, our physical core consists of the muscles between our hips and our shoulders. A man named Mark Verstegen, who wrote a book called Core Performance, says that there are five reasons that we should focus our exercise when we exercise on our core. He says it reduces and prevents pain. It makes you look taller and thinner. It delays the aging process. It improves mental function, and it improves performance. And I've come up with a way of understanding which exercises actually strengthen your core. They are, in my case at least, the exercises that I least want to do. So what's our spiritual core? What are the spiritual muscles we need to strengthen in order to reduce pain and to look taller and to delay the aging process and so forth? I think one of the core spiritual muscles is the trust muscle. trusting God and developing communities of trust and congregations of trust where we can trust God and each other enough to live together in such a way as to change the world. One of the key biblical personifications of trust is Jesus' mother, Mary, who became a symbol for the church. The church's job, the church's role in the world, is to trust God enough so that something of God might be born into the world through us. Today we want to take just a moment to think about trusting God's possibilities. Trusting God's possibilities for us. God is always trying to stretch our imagination. God is always calling us to a larger vision than we ourselves would be likely to imagine. When the angel calls Mary into the motherhood of Jesus, she responds, "How can this be since I am just a young girl?" The angel replies, "Nothing will be impossible with God." And then Mary says, "So then, let it be. Let it be." Mary trusts God's possibility, which is beyond her own imagination, beyond her own conception, beyond her own vision. Mary works her trust muscle. One of the barriers to us living out God's call in our lives is the limitation of what we can imagine to be possible. We can't see what God is calling us to do and be. Amazing things happen in history once our imaginations are stretched. Actually, impossible things happen in human history once our imaginations are stretched. Before 1954, this may seem trivial, but it speaks to me. Before 1954, no racer had ever run a mile in less than 4 minutes. Most people believed it was impossible. There was even a scholarly book written explaining in great depth why running a mile in less than 4 minutes was physiologically impossible given the anatomy of the human body. And then on May 6, 1954, on a racetrack in Oxford, England, Roger Bannister ran a mile in 3 minutes 59.4 seconds, establishing the first world record for running a mile in less than 4 minutes. Do you know how long it took before his record was broken? Turn to the person next to you and guess how long it took for someone to break the record of the first man who ran a sub 4 minute mile. Take a guess. Are you guessing? Okay, here's the answer. Here's the answer. Roger Bannister first broke the 4 minute mile, and his record was broken 46 days later. Less than 2 months later. Because once people could imagine it, then other people could do it. It was much easier for the second guy. Because he knew it could be done. It was much harder for Roger Bannister because the whole world believed it could not be done. We are called to things greater than we can imagine. God's call upon our lives stretches us and requires us to take a step of trust, a step of faith to do that which we cannot believe may be possible. In the spirit of Mary, we are invited to step out and trust where we cannot see. The book of Hebrews says that faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is knowing that God has done things before that people could not imagine, and that God will do it again. So I invite each of us and us together to meditate this Advent about where God might be inviting us to take a step beyond the limitations of our imagination, to serve, to give, to sacrifice, to believe that change can happen in our own personal lives, to believe that changes that it's hard to imagine can happen within the United Methodist Church and within the Church of Jesus Christ, to believe that change can happen in our world. Many have written this week about the one sentence that Nelson Mandela spoke that seemed to shape his life during his 1962 trial in South Africa. His lawyers urged him not to say it during the trial, but he said it anyway. He talked about his belief in democracy, in the possibility of democracy, even though he could not see it in his world. He talked about his conviction and belief about something that he could not see on a daily basis. And the sentence he spoke was, "Democracy is an ideal for which I am prepared to die." And he spent the next 27 years in prison, looking out a window, trusting in an ideal that it must have been nearly impossible for him to actually see. The angel came to Mary to talk to her about a possibility that she could not imagine. Mary said, "How can these things be, for I'm only a young girl?" The angel answered, "Nothing will be impossible with God." So Mary said, "Then let it be." And it is the work of the church today to say to God's possibility, yes, 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 let it be.